Thank you for joining me on another episode of FYI, I Am Damaged. I am joined by Mairena and Jerry. May, how you doing?
Hi, everyone. I'm good. Can't complain.
What's up, Pino?
How's everything been?
Good.
Everything's been good.
Happy ups and downs.
Good. Getting used to married life. Now we're married. I think when I came last time, we were not.
Yeah. We'll jump right into that. And May, how's your experience been since your episode on the first season?
It's been good. Actually, that episode had me reflect on a lot of things. It definitely helped me, I think, heal. I discovered that there might have been some untapped emotions that came out after that, things I reflected on even more, and I think even more appreciation to life after that.
How was the feedback then from friends, family?
It was positive, a lot of support. People that, you know, I, before that podcast, was not public with what had happened. A lot of people knew of the separation, but not the details. And I think in that podcast, a lot of people got details that they themselves didn't know. Some attacks from that person. Which just proved that, you know, I was not lying. Immediate reaction. But I think it just showed me how much support I had that I possibly didn't know I had before then.
And Jerry, what were your thoughts on the episode and that funny yet idiotic type of interaction that was going on Instagram in the comment section? What are your thoughts on everything?
I'm going to be very honest. I did not hear the entire episode. I didn't listen to the entire episode.
Mm-hmm.
But Mairena did fill me in on the comments and the back and forth that was going on with her speaking on her life experience. I really didn't have any feelings towards those comments or anything going back and forth because I already know what she told me was the truth.
Right.
And by this person causing trouble on Instagram, he never reached out to me or tried to reach out to me. Maybe he has, who knows. But it's something that don't faze me because I know who she is and what she stands for. And the woman that she has become today from that experience that she went through.
Right.
Really didn't bother me. She needed that, I guess you can say, closure with that episode. Because I felt like that gave her closure to her past.
And I'm guessing you're going to immediately listen to the full episode after.
Yes.
I can vouch that he heard half of it. I mean, I was there. But, I mean, even myself, when replaying it, just because it's hard to hear yourself, I have to admit, I heard half of it. Just because I don't know, it's very awkward to hear yourself, as maybe some of your other guests have said, like replaying their own episodes. I don't know. It's just
it's for me, it's interesting because it's doing this so constantly and then having to, once I had to edit and do all that and do everything myself, for everyone who's listening, doing that constantly, you get over it. You get over it. It's one of those deals where it's like, oh, okay, this is how I sound. Unless you have something very specific with your voice that it's like, oh my God, I sound like this. you get over it. And so trust me, it's nothing. You guys have very good voices. If you listen to it over and over again, and you trust me, everybody out there in the world, if you want to start a podcast and do all that, you'll get past it. Jerry, you got a great voice. May, you have a great voice.
Thank you.
You guys will get over it. All right. Before we move on to the team of two that is you, plus a few kids. May, why don't you do this man justice and tell these listeners about Jerry?
The Jerry I've met and the Jerry that I have married is an amazing man. I have to say one thing that I appreciate of him is the freedom he gives me. I can be a difficult person in the sense of, well, maybe it's traumas or whatever, but I don't like to be controlled, asked too many questions or told what to do. That might be like 90% of the females out there, but he lets me be. He loves me for me. I can be clumsy, funny. a clown at times. I can do things to get on his nerves because I just sometimes find it funny. And he has the patience. He's very loving. He has a very, very warm heart. Is always looking out for his family, very protective of his family. You know, I have to add this one. He's a mama's boy, which I love.
You don't like that, do you?
Well, they always say, if you see how a guy treats his mother, then you'll know how he'll treat you. And that's one of the things that I really loved seeing, the relationship that he has with his mother. And not only his mother, his sister, who's another female figure in his life. So that was very impressive. And then God gave him all girls. So, you know, he knows how to deal with us women.
Slowly deteriorating over here.
Would you like to rebut that statement, Jerry?
It's a lot of work. It's a lot of work. I've never pictured in my life dealing with so many women around me. A lot of estrogen.
To share, it's a total of 4 daughters, a wife, and yeah, a lot of women. Jerry's the only male in the house.
I cried to the dog.
And I'm sure he's like, what is this human doing? Augie was blessed to be your maid of honor at your wedding.
Yeah.
And I haven't been to many weddings, but it was one of the best I've been to. Tell us the process of what it takes to stay sane, to plan something like this.
Well, I think I'm an event planner by nature. I love planning events. I love hosting things. I love to party. I love alcohol partying. And just family and fun. I think everyone there was close family, friends, you know, friends from Jerry's Car Club, my close friends. And it was easy because I think, well, number one, I did plan it in 2 years. I had to plan the wedding. So,
2 years.
Yeah, 2 years, more than enough time. 2 years that went by super fast, but it gave me time to do it right. We were so excited for it that it was like really, really fun to plan. We just wanted a party. We wanted to have fun. We wanted a blast. But more importantly, and one thing I told the MC is, I want everyone there to have fun. I know it's our day, but I'm all about the people. Like, I wanted everyone there, like everyone did, to have fun and enjoy the moment. And yes, it was our day, but it was a day that we shared with everyone we loved. So it was fun. Yeah.
Jerry, from a man's point of view, what does it take to handle business and make sure, if it's needed, that the weight is not 100% on your partner?
I gave her all the weight.
No shame, no shame. I respect it.
I helped her out. It's not an easy process. Event planning, you know, that's her thing. I wanted her to have her day, the best, like she said, the best time with everybody, friends, family. Of course, I wanted to have a good time as well, but she did everything her way. You know, of course, there were some things that, you know, I agreed and disagreed on, but I let her do her thing. I try not to be the weight or the headache,
right,
in the process, though, you know, sometimes she can call me lazy or delayed because I take my sweet time. You know, getting things done, but the outcome was fabulous. It was amazing. She had a smile on her face all night long, with the exception of the ring getting lost.
Oh.
We lost the ring. We
lost the ring.
Before the whole thing?
During the ceremony.
During the ceremony. Expand on this.
But no one found out because, so I'm, okay. I mean, women love diamonds and lavishes and stuff, but I'm really not a materialistic person. I just wanted to enjoy the moment. So we were at the altar.
You actually lost whatever material that you
needed for that day. Yes. So just quickly to explain, I could be spoiled sometimes. And I wanted a bridge to go with my engagement ring. But a bridge is like 2 rings. It looks like you have 3. We ended up finding it, so that's why you're seeing it now. But I wanted that, and Jerry couldn't find a bridge for the setting that I have, so he opted to buy 2 wedding bands. And at the altar, when the bands were handed to us, only one of mine was handed to Jerry. And in the middle of everything, he's like, where's the other ring? The Ave Maria started playing. Man, I paid for that Ave Maria. I wanted to hear it. I was not thinking about a ring. So I just told him, I was like, baby, let me enjoy the Ave Maria. We'll think about the ring later. The ring showed up, what, 2 days later? It showed up, though. But yeah, and then we went upstairs to the bridal suite after the ceremony. And we looked for it for a little bit. Everyone was nervous, from the bridal attendant to whoever touched it. And I told everyone, stop. We're not focusing on a ring. We have a whole night ahead of us. We have money to go buy another one tomorrow. So why are we stressing over it? Let's enjoy our night. And that's what exactly we did. And I am one that believes that all I need to do in life is exist. Everything else that needs to happen will happen. And I guess that was a test from God. And he said, okay, it didn't ruin your day. It didn't ruin your moment. So here, have your ring back so you can have your bridge setting. So I am wearing my original rings today. We didn't have to buy a new one. But yeah, I mean, nothing is perfect in life. It's what we make of it. But yeah, we lost a ring.
Well, you guys did a good job, because I'm like, hey, what?
You were there, like front line, and you didn't notice.
Everything was all smiles and everything. You didn't see like a sour face. You didn't see like a oh shit face. Like, oh, you know, something's going on.
I'll replay the video for you in a little bit, and you'll get it, because you hear me say there were two rings. You can see it in the video, but only those that, like, after I pointed out, then people are like, oh, I get it. No, my Ave Maria was more important.
Yeah, that lady killed it.
See, it's the little things.
Yeah. You had a good poker. You had a good poker face.
I mean, I try to hide. I was like, where's the other ring? But her smile, even though she, you know, there was a moment in time that she looked panicked,
right,
and upset, but we got, like she said, we got over it. She started smiling again, and after that, it was just all fun. After that, calm. We didn't let that get to us. You know, we didn't let it, like Marina said, we didn't let it ruin our night. It is what it is. It's a material thing.
I guess you know my next question, because I said you had a few surprises. Two, let us know what they were. So I guess this was one of the surprises.
Right. Then we lost the ring. A surprise to you now. Well, I thought I had the best surprise of it all, because Jerry didn't want to do the reveal, which is when you see the bride or near, and they push for it. The photographers push for it. The venue push for it, because they get pictures out of the way before the ceremony. Our ceremony was at night. And because Jerry didn't want to do the reveal, I was like, well, I'm going to give him two Mays. I'm going to give him the May with the regular dress, you know, for the reveal. And then I'm going to give him, you know, my alter ego, May the Queen. I'll bring her to, you know, the ceremony with a change of attire. I wore silver, a different color. I added an overskirt. I literally looked like a queen from back in the 1800s. I was here, like, phenomenally thinking I'm going to shock him and surprise him. And he actually was the one that shocked everyone with his vest. So I'll let him share that.
The vest.
I did not plan it. The guy that made my suit.
Right.
He saw me on it. Like, I just felt like a bag of bricks. I was just like, I gotta have it.
But they'll see the picture on IG, but walk us through this in detail about this vest. Paint us a picture.
So it's a collage of our best moments, from the moment we started dating to the moment that I proposed.
And it wasn't just the vest. He had pictures inside the lining of both his suit jackets, right, his blazers, both of them. And the detail went as far as his ceremony jacket had formal pictures of us. Pictures, you know, nice, attending events, attending other weddings, other sweet 16s, formal. The party jacket had party pictures of us. Clubs, lounge, you name it, us having fun, you know, the hora loca, as in people's events. So he went as far as like even differentiating based on the blazer, what pictures went on them with, to me. And in the reveal video, I was like, you outdid me.
And the,
because he did.
The cameraman caught the perfect snap of when Jerry opened up the vest.
Yeah.
And you were surprised.
Yes.
I was like, it's like the Muhammad Ali picture. When he does a little snap and the pound on the chest when he knocks out the guy. And you just, the wow face.
I was not expecting all those details. Yeah, no, I thought I was the more detailed one.
How did you feel about that, you know, making her so happy with the detail of the life before and on the cusp of the forever?
I felt accomplished in the sense that I made her everything light up.
Interesting.
Again, I didn't plan it. I didn't know what she had planned to surprise me. And it's kind of like we're both in sync without telling each other what we're doing, but yet we both meet at this place to surprise each other with these, I don't even know what I would call it.
Like the small detail?
Well, small details, to an extent, we think alike. We want to make each other happy with these ideas and thoughts, things that I've, you know, never expressed to my partner before, where I'm like, oh, wow, you know, I can do this. And I know she's going to get a kick out. I see that in her towards me as well. And it's like, you know, we're right there with each other. So, see?
I'm here all smiles.
So like appreciations through actions,
right,
type of deals? Oh, okay. That's something to appreciate, because it's a lot of certain people like words and people like how they say love languages type of stuff.
Yep.
It's a tricky thing for certain people to figure out, you know, what is yours, figure out others, and, you know, it can be a mystery, and, you know, some people get it off the bat.
Yeah, you mentioned that, and we actually took those tests, and it's funny, because my top two were his bottom two, and his top two were my bottom two. So it was interesting to see that though we're meshed very well, our love languages were different, and then we learned from each other. And then took it again, and I realized that my love languages had changed since we first took the test. I guess we like adapt to each other or something like that, but yeah, we've taken all that.
Pulling back a bit, since you guys are both parents, approaching your children, it's an important step. What was that like?
So it took us a couple of months. I know myself with Maylise, it took me about 5 months after we were talking. She actually gets upset at me because she's like, you were supposed to share since day one. No, I was not. So it took me a bit just because, you know, I had spent a couple of years alone. I didn't want to introduce just anyone to her. So I did wait to make sure that we were going somewhere before introducing Jerry to her. And she was excited because, you know, I was alone for 3.5 years, and she herself had already told me, Mom, you should start dating. Are you not going to date? So when she found out that I was dating someone, she was happy. And then when she found out that Jerry had daughters that were around her same age, she got even more excited because she is a single child. She's an only child. With Jerry's daughter as well, it took a couple of months for Jerry to open up and even let them know that he was seeing someone and dating someone. And again, I think both of us just wanted to make sure of what we had before then we opened it up to the kids. And today we have awesome daughters that love each other like they all came out of the same moon. And sometimes I wonder, because they're extremely close. Like, are you sure you were sisters in a past life? But that has been a blessing that they all get along so well and love each other dearly and genuinely.
And Jerry, what are your thoughts on that?
Took the words right out of my mouth. Well, looking at our daughters, I have 3 girls, to which my oldest has not been around us at all, you know, maybe once or twice. But the smaller ones get along with Mandy's amazingly. And I see that, and it brings a lot of happiness to my heart, because for one, you know, Maylise is an only child. My 2 daughters accepted Maylise as their sister.
All 3 of them have.
Right. No, yeah, they are. Yeah. And, you know, I've always heard stories in other relationships and marriages where kids don't get along and it's just turbulence upside down and a whole bunch of craziness, you know, between mom and dad and the, you know, the stepkids and stuff. So, you know, to see that they get along the way they do, it brings me a lot of happiness and it's amazing. I couldn't ask for better kids than what I have. You know, I took Melise in as my own daughter. Well, I don't look at her as a stepdaughter, you know. And we have a great relationship. Marina as well with my daughters have my daughters trust her more than me. They talk to her, they run to her. Which naturally, you know, that's the female, you know, bonding. It's a weight off of my shoulder. Though there's sometimes, you know, there's the, you know, little hiccups and
hormones.
Yeah, a lot of estrogen. So it's a weight off my shoulder.
Right.
I don't have to worry with Marina being upset or the girls being upset or them not getting along or she said this to me or she said that to me and did this to me. We're all united as one big family. It's great.
And with friends and family, I'm sure that was a no-brainer when they heard you guys were getting married.
Friends were shocked.
Really?
Yes, because a lot of my friends I never believed in marriage.
Mm.
I was the type that I never believed in marriage. It's not, I won't do it. I'm just never going to happen. It's not for me. Marina came into my life and...
So not because of May, but because of your outlook on the whole situation.
Correct.
Okay.
And why wouldn't I want to marry such an amazing person? She brings out the best in me, and she also brings out, I'm not going to say the worst.
Nah, never.
But she does bring out a dark side.
Let's just say I could be a little annoying on purpose.
But I mean, it's something natural.
You know? Right.
It's like picking on him sometimes.
It's good that you can say that in a laughing manner, because considering what you've been through and something that we can't talk about now and what other people are going through, it's good to know that the humor is there, even though you know that you two guys talk about what you guys are going through, the good and the bad, and you guys are still able to laugh about it. And even though it's a good bad, knowing that what you guys have already dealing with, you'll take that any day of the week. And a lot of people take that for granted, knowing that other people deal with so much worse.
Yeah, and that's also the part about him fully accepting me. Like, he knows I'm annoying. He likes it. He's like, oh, there she goes again. Meanwhile, I'm like joking around, not taking life serious, just jumping around, being a clown and a little kid.
You gotta deal with.
He just says, "Ay, esta mujer."
And that's when I start talking to the dog. And even he looks at me sideways, like, "Bro, you already know what you're coming into."
Dog, help me out here.
Yo, control your mom, bro. Hurry up, man.
At least you got a dog to plead with. Oh, I don't. Before, during, and after the vows, take us through each of you. What was going through your heads? Because now that you guys are older, wiser, been through so much, and now that you found the extra beat to your heart, it must feel like a whirlwind. It can be, to some, a surreal experience. Many of us go through that, and it ends up being a magical experience or not. But to you, in your world, in your sphere, take us through what it felt like before, during, and after.
So the moment I laid my lips on this woman right before me, I already felt that we were one.
Interesting.
At the altar, before the vows, I was like, oh, snap. I never seen myself. I kind of like took a step out of my body for a second and said, yo, I've never seen myself. I wouldn't in a million years seen myself at that altar. But
that's the part of you that said that you never get married.
Right. And I think at that moment is when that part of me walked off. I was scared, nervous, but comfortable in my shoes, confident. During the vows, again, oh snap, this is happening. But then to see her eyes glistening, you know, it made me want to go for more. After the vows, while she was dragging me down the aisle with...
dragging?
Wait, after the IBs?
Those are your words, drag.
I dragged him. You couldn't see it.
And then dragged me down the aisle.
Okay, as long as you hit that.
I think we were tied with a Unity Rosary. I was walking faster than him, so I kind of...
I missed that. I'm sorry.
You'll see it in the pictures. After the vows, we're coming down the aisle, seeing all our family, all our friends, everybody in a happy place, everybody happy for us. I said to myself, I guess you could say that I kind of patted myself in the back and I said, you did good. You married yourself a great woman.
Right.
And said to myself that I was proud of myself as well. That's when I actually think I went from being 40-something-year-old, not a boy, not an adolescent, but immature guy to a man. Though through our stages of dating, you know, I was mature. But it just, you know, I felt secured within myself as I made myself the man that I am by marrying this wonderful woman.
It's a definite level up.
And this wonderful woman had cold feet all the way up until the wedding.
Facts.
And it wasn't because of Jerry. I'm not going to say it was Jerry. It's not a lie.
But I have an interesting question before, may you get to your before, during, and after.
Yes.
And for Jerry, my interesting question is that during all of this and knowing that you're making the leap to be with this woman forever, knowing what you guys have built up to this point to make this commitment, but the focus is on what she's been through and being there for her, supporting her, and knowing that what she's been through and being her support structure for her, knowing that there's a history there. And how do you reconcile that within yourself to know that she's been through something that is a pinnacle point in her life? And then I am the man in her life now. What goes through your head to know that now I have to be her rock and to make sure that she never has to feel that way with me ever, in a sense?
Good question. Very good question. It's very hard. Very hard. As I'm collecting my thoughts to answer your question, I'm going back through all the times that, you know, we've had our ups and downs, our struggles, our arguments. Answer that question. Me as her husband, I have to protect her from feeling or even have a thought of falling into those kind of feelings that she's been through. Through the many situations that she's been through, I stop and I think before we have any kind of discussions or disagreements with the way that I respond, because I know that she might fall back into a thought process of what she's been through. I'm not going to say that, you know, I'm a perfect person, because, you know, I do get on her nerves. There might be times that, you know, I might have to call you because she's trying to strangle me because I upset her.
Lies. No strangling. I might get upset.
Or pots and pans flying. No, just stop. But something for you to know as well, because that's not something that I have ever divulged to you. But a lot of the times that we have our ups and downs, I back off and she gets upset. But I back off with a purpose, because I know that I know the person that I am. I have a short fuse. I'm not going to lie. I can snap in a second, and I can destroy everything that I've built with words, with hurting her verbally. You know, it can just go sideways where in the moment of the heat, you don't want it to go. And how do you recuperate from that? I've never been the physical type, though other people have accused me of it. I can get verbal. You know, I can get loud. I can scream. I can yell. But I never want her to feel or cower because of the way that I got with her and she fall into the same feeling that she was previously in her last relationship.
Now, what's interesting for me to know is that it's easy for somebody to act out in anger.
Right.
As how they say it's tough to build something good, it's very easy to destroy something.
Correct.
Go, what's going through your head when you're pulling yourself back to not act out in a way to make her feel uncomfortable or unsafe with you? How much mental strength does it take for you to pull your own self back? There's no one there for you to say, Jerry, stop. You're going to cross a line. You have to do that for yourself. You know what she's been through, so there's something nipping at your heels in the back of your head. And then you're like, oh, shit. I can cross this line, but I can't because then I'm just going to destroy her for me.
Right.
So what is it in your head that pulls you back from basically maybe or maybe not from blanking out and just destroying something beautiful for those that actually or those that actually get to that point so that they could recognize that?
You know, everybody's different with the way that they react towards situation.
But let's make it familiar.
It just comes naturally. I can't say that I turn a switch on and say, oh, shit, I got to stop, got to walk out. It just comes naturally where I see myself, okay, this is getting a bit escalated. I don't want to argue, but it does come down to the love that I have for her that puts a brake on overreacting.
Okay.
I'm a crybaby.
I was ready for that.
The guys need to hear this. I need to hear this.
It's a hard thought process in the heat of the moment. Again, everybody's different, but in order to recognize it, that thought process, I think people need to be okay with themselves mentally, where they know they need to stop for the sake of the relationship, for the sake of each other's safety. It's not easy, you know, it's easier to fall into that trap of the argument and the getting back at your partner or pointing the finger. I just focus on what can be destroyed.
Those are very good points. Love, self-awareness, preservation, what's in front of you. Those are very universal. And these are the things that people need to understand to say what you love and what guys need to understand and what women need to understand, mm-hmm. because both sides can be the initiator and the aggressor. And more people need to understand this to either say what they love or at least not destroy what's left so that they don't destroy what's growing and coming after them.
Right.
Kids, mate, with the before, during, and after with the vows. And then we'll get to...
I had cold feet, like totally cold feet. Like it was a week before the wedding. I was getting, even Jerry's like, damn. It was a week before the wedding. We were doing, like, we had a spa day with, like, the bridal party. And I was crying. Ask RG, Jackie that were there. I was crying. They were like, why are you crying? I was like, because I don't know if I want to get married.
What initiated the cold feet, do you know?
It was a mix of things. So initially, when we started dating, I did tell Jerry that I did not want to get married. It was just something that, you know, I had done and had a bad experience with. And, you know, I come from a set of parents, my mother and my stepfather, who was my father, my dad. They never got married. They never signed the paperwork. They were together 30 years and never signed the paperwork. And to me, they had the best relationship. And I was like, well, if it works for them, you know, marriage didn't work for me when I tried it. So I don't need to get married. And then, of course, here comes Jerry. Gets on one knee. And how do I say no?
Messing everything.
Like, how do I say no? But it was a mix of emotions. It was, you know, we are long distance. I was in Florida. He's in New York, though. I work remote. It's easier for me to come and go. But I was thinking of everything, you know, what if I have to relocate? The plans is that he's coming, but, you know, to Florida, but we don't know. So that, It was also very difficult because though we have an awesome family, it's been difficult to adapt to, you know, I wouldn't say his daughters, but the challenges that come with extra children, especially the age that they are, that they do things just because they're kids, not necessarily that it has to do with me or with Jerry. And it's like, am I prepared for this? Even though we were together, you know, almost 4 years. But it was just like a mix of a whole bunch of things just coming to my mind. And it's like, that's why sometimes we need to control our mind. Because our mind will start putting things in there that you're like, boy, where did that come from? And I think it was more that. Also the fear of, and I'm going to be honest, I've been honest with him. You know, I was fooled for a long time in my previous relationship. Right. You know, I was, and I have said, in, as I said in the first podcast, you know, the abuse didn't start immediately. Like, it took years for it to develop. So I was also in, like, you know, we've been together 4 years. I haven't seen characteristics in him. You know, I definitely didn't rush into this. So the before is like, be patient, wait it out, make sure that this is for you. So I didn't see any signs that he would be the same type of person. But my mind told me, remember, it took a while before.
Right.
So what if it comes out after the marriage?
Yes, you did say that.
So it's like, that was one of the biggest thing in my head is, what if he flips a switch after we get married?
Yeah.
And that was causing the cold feet. Well, thank God I didn't listen to my brain. Yeah. Now, during, oh, I was a nervous wreck. I wanted to enjoy my Ave Maria. I had a lot of fun. Obviously, the day of, I was did not have cold feet. I was convinced that this was it. I know what we have. I was excited for our future. I'm excited for our future. You know, he is a person that's grounded. We both have ambitions. You know, we have similar upbringings, similar likes. And I was excited for what's to come. So during the ceremony, and I just wanted to have fun and dance the night away, which we did. And then after, it's just making it work. Marriage, it's not roses and petals and all this beautiful thing that, you know, we even ourselves kind of portray. Like, it's not perfect. Yes, we are an awesome couple. I find that we are a perfect couple in the time that we've had, but it is not perfect. And, you know, one thing I do appreciate is what he just answered about the highs and lows and knowing how to control yourselves. Because till this day, yes, we've had our arguments, but there's always one of us that doesn't entertain it. So not that we joke. I mean, he gets mad. Sometimes I laugh. It's just me. So he's like, are you laughing at me? Like, not really. When he's high, I'm low. Because that's also something I learned in previous relationships is like, don't get high when they're high. You know, and then when, as he said, when he sees me high, he pulls back.
Right.
And he's like, yeah, or he'll walk out. Any female would be upset at someone walking out while you're upset. Like, I want to address this right now. But then I've also learned that that's not the right way to do things. Like, once we're calm, we're down, you know, then we'll go outside. Like, we live by Central Park and we'll go sit at a bench and we'll talk it out. I think one thing we know how to do is wait for the moment and find a neutral spot and we'll go talk it out. We'll talk about how we felt, you know, well, I thought this. A lot of things are based on either perceptions, assumptions, or just things said wrong.
Right.
So you just need to clear things. But that's one thing I appreciate of us is like, we're never both up here.
Just to add a little bit to the cold feet,
Coretta.
They were my cold feet.
I was tight when I find out.
He was.
I was tight.
He was.
I was upset. Well, me being me again, you know, I know how I am. For a quick second, I felt discouraged. I was like, what? Wait, cold feet? Why? What did I do?
Oh, you internalized it.
Why not?
What did I do to show this woman that she's gonna go out to the side and leave me hanging? I didn't do anything. But once she explained herself, you know, I understood it. Still with a little bit of being discouraged, but I was confident of myself that the person I had before me was with Kofi, not because of me, but because of what she experienced.
Right.
It took me many months of I did therapy for myself. Right. Many months of therapy, not while we were together, but before, after my previous relationships and stuff. And it took months of therapy, which I should have continued on, but you know, at some point it stopped. But it gave me enough knowledge to understand the thought process on somebody else's feelings and not jump the gun and be like, oh, you know what? Okay, whatever, screw you. You got Kofi? All right, I'm done. Any other guy in my shoes at that moment finding out and will get discouraged and be like, this ain't for me then. Anybody going through a situation similar like that need to look inside that relationship and ask themselves if it's them, which in this case, it was not me, because I didn't give her, like you said, like Irina said, the signs of...
But you're kind of a little special case, and meaning that you're more special, you're more self-aware.
Right, right. Yeah. So for somebody else, they...
Gives you an advantage.
Right. And I needed help to get to that point of self-awareness.
That's something that lacks in, you know, the male community, where it's like...
For the fellas out there, don't be scared to see mental health.
Yeah, it's vital. It's vital to sort out your feelings, sort out your emotions, sort out your anger, sort out confusing feelings of why is this happening.
Right.
It's essential.
Doesn't make you less of a man.
Not at all. It just sorts things out so that you can think clearly. Everybody needs clarity.
Yep.
And mental health can assist with that.
Absolutely.
It's actually a green flag, actually, now, you know, red flag, green flag, that someone can self-evaluate themselves enough to say, I need this, you know, I need to heal. I need... previous relationship didn't work, or I was doing things a certain way. I was behaving in a certain way that I shouldn't have, you know, let me go and find help. It takes a lot for someone, you know, to acknowledge that they need that. And that's something that I also, you know, brought me closer to him, because I was like, this is someone that is self-aware of who he is and has gone through a process of trying to better himself. So, you know, that was impressive to me.
And that's all great points. Now, moving on. Now comes the party, DJed by DJ Lobo, which I'm a little salty he did not respond to my request for an interview. Which is all right. I don't care. He's busy. I know. Some people think a little magic is supposed to happen, but life is life. What did your reality show you to?
So I have to say, I did feel something. I did feel a magic. Not at the moment, but after we left, the next morning when I woke up, I felt an energy shift. It's hard to explain. It's very hard to explain. Some folks will say she's crazy. But I felt like some sort of like commitment. Like, and I have never felt that before. I did share it with Jerry. Like when I woke up, I was like, I felt an energy shift. I felt something shifted in the universe. I felt some sense of like completeness and commitment. This is my husband. So if you want to call that a magical moment, I guess my cold feet went away. It turned into hot boiling water.
Burned everybody's feet.
DJ Nova burned everyone's feet, including mine.
What do you think, Jerry?
I felt that same shift. It was odd. It was weird. And I think I might have felt that shift before the moment I knew that I was getting too drunk. Between the I do coming down the aisle to then the party and saying goodbye to all our guests at the entrance of the venue, going back to the hotel afterwards, waking up to you the next morning, you as my wife, that shift, I felt that shift earlier in the evening. Felt kind of like a tremble on the ground. Weird, man, weird. But I enjoyed it.
Yeah, it's hard to explain. It's very hard to explain, but there is definitely something that did occur after that I do, that I feel brought us stronger together.
And so it's like that surreal moment in Mrs. Flores.
Yep, Mrs. Flores. Man, I ran to change that name. Not funny. It's all over Mrs. Flores. Yeah.
All right. Which is probably why the rain always follows us.
Because the flowers need water.
This is a long-distance marriage. How do you guys make it work? And what are the key points to know how to hold on to that and to keep and make it stronger?
That's a tough question because, I don't know, we've made it work. And it actually feels like we're in one home. I mean, obviously, thanks to technology, you know, there's FaceTime, there's video calling.
Virtual sex.
Same that kind of podcast, man.
No. Well, that happens too. I mean, it's a part of the marriage. But I mean, I think it's the intention. And even from day one, you know, we've made it a point, obviously, trust. You know, we trust in each other. We give each other the space. I mean, he's free to do as he pleases. I'm free to do as I please. But we know, you know, we owe each other some sort of respect. Jealousy days, that's behind us. You know, it's maybe when I was in early life, you know. I'm not going to lie. I apologize to anyone in the past. Those days are over. I think we trust each other. He's here looking at me twisted. I think any female that sees someone else staring, it's going to have some sort of...
That's stressful.
Yeah. But no, we've made it work. I mean, we do a lot of things together, a lot of things together. I think, no, we're not on video 24 hours. Like I saw somebody on 90 Day Fiancé. That's ridiculous. That's too extra. But, you know, we cook together. We watch movies together. We've got it down to a science where we're even on the same second at the same moment. So we're watching actually everything together. And we just communicate a lot. I think it's part of just like being with each other. We both like being with each other. You know, that's an important part, being friends. I think there's a relationship, there's marriage. But the most important part is to be friends. And, you know, with Jerry, I have my best friend. I have my friend and I want to spend special moments with him. I want to do special moments with him, you know, respecting work hours and all that. But there's a lot of things that we've incorporated into our routine, daily routine, that makes it feel like we're together in one home, even though we're, you know, I'm in Florida, he's in New York. And then, as I mentioned, you know, being remote allows me to come often. So we've spent, well, COVID, we spent like 5 months without seeing each other. But the most we've gone maybe is like two and a half months without seeing each other. And then we're back together for a month. Then I go back. You know, we have our priorities. Maylis is in high school, what was, just graduated. So that was my priority, hence why I'm still in Florida. Jerry has the girls with him. So, you know, those are his priority. And part of being adults now is that we understand each other's priorities. And we know that it's not that one comes before the other, but we're parents and that's important to us. And we respect that of each other. And I think in just understanding the reasons that are keeping us long distance validates why we're long distance. Now, it's not going to be forever. It's not going to be eternal. Even though he's always hot, I'm always cold. So we might be in the same house, but in different rooms at one moment in life.
But keep it 100. I'm sure this certain days is like, I'm so glad I'm in this bed alone right now today.
Yes. So
like, what are you pissing? I love to keep your ass in Florida.
And yes, distance does make the heart grow fonder. Like we have our moments where we're like, yes, we have our space. You know, she's not here talking 24/7 because I do talk a lot.
My room could be 60 degrees, yes. Not 80.
And no one's complaining that it's super cold. And, you know, I think it's also good for people to have those moments away from each other. You know, it makes you miss that person.
Space and time away from each other to miss each other as well. They can't be on top of each other 24/7.
Mm. Yeah.
Wise words. I hope everybody's listening. All right. Not ignoring the bad, but what should men and women avoid, obvious and not so obvious, that would annoy, stress, or strain a relationship or marriage that you either dealt with or avoided that we may or may not have touched on already? What does come to mind that we may not have touched on?
Communication, friendship, and just understanding that this is a difficult world. And to have someone to walk it with.
Busy world.
Everything, you know, busy, crazy, you know. People's even emotions now, everyone's so cold-hearted. Violence is at an all-time high where it's like people are now at fight or flight. Everyone's on defensive mode. And seeing the world outside, I think every day more and more, especially as we get older, it's like, you know, we're in our early 40s and we're already thinking like retirement. Like we're seeing our parents that are retiring now, and it's my dad passed away and now my mom is alone. So in seeing, you know, older folks that are alone, you need someone to spend your life with. You need a companion. You need someone to walk this hard life with. And what better way to find someone that's your friend? And when you find that, it's like it takes everything in you to want to make it work. It's just look at each other as each other's support system. If everyone in every relationship forgets about, I'll say forget about maybe the qualities of that person that annoy you, unless, you know, they are things that are too toxic and you cannot deal with just because for your mental health and your sanity, you need to step away and you need to say no. But if it's minimal things like, they leave the towel on the floor, or she talks too much, or she asks too many questions, I might be describing myself. But once you forget the little things and you're like, man, there's a way bigger picture out there.
Yeah.
We need to forget about the little things. And yes, we can bicker and complain about them, but let's not overstress them. Then I think that gives you more of a purpose in that relationship. So forget the wet towels on top of the bad people.
As Jerry stares at you lovingly.
I've learned to hang it up.
I need to fit.
1, 2, 3, 4 feet. What are your thoughts on that, Jerry?
Communication is key. Understand not losing love for somebody because of situations or struggles that, like you said, are minute, that can be taken care of with a simple conversation. Within the world that we live in now, like you said, you know, it's not getting any better. And to not have a special someone to love, or that special someone to love you in return, to be in an empty, cold world that we live in today without you by my side makes every argument, disagreement worth having. Because I know that we're going to be strong enough to get through it, hold each other's hand, and walk through this cold world. You know, a lot of people are unfortunate to not be able to find that someone, which makes me appreciate you that much more. Very grateful. And things can be worked out in relationships, you know. If you're meant for that person, you're meant for that person. If you're not, you're not. But with talking and communicating with that other person, whether to be or not to be, communication is the utmost importance in a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
To understanding that other person, their feelings, where they're at, where you're at in that relationship, if you want that relationship to continue to last. And I'm very lucky to have Mirina with that communication and understanding.
And I'll add another thing that's important too is leave people out.
Right.
Deal with your relationship. There's two people in it. There's two people that I gotta deal
right
with in the relationship. No mother, no father, no siblings. Yes, you can, after the fact, tell your friends, share, you know, your emotions. I think we all have a best friend. We all have someone else we run to with our situations, but allowing someone to dictate your actions or your emotions or what you should do, I think you should act that out. Like running to friends and relatives with every single detail or every single annoyance. It's like, they'll add to it based on their perceptions, not necessarily what your relationship is based on.
Leave the opinions out.
Or at least like until after things are done. Let's say, you know, there's some people that are going to a situation or had a fight, an argument this morning, and then they run off to call their best friend or call their mother. And oh my God, I can't stand this guy. And he just did this or he just did that. And can you believe what just Jerry said or Jerry got annoyed? And then there starts the, maybe, you know, and my mom adores Jerry, but let's say in another situation, a mother-in-law that does not like that other person, that's their opportunity to start spewing that negativity.
Mm-hmm. Divulging after the fact is just as dangerous, because they can be like,
it could be,
I would have did this, or I would have did that.
It could be.
And the seed of doubt can like chew on the back of your head.
It could be, but that's why I'm saying like, be private. You don't have to run off and say everything, especially if something was resolved. Especially if there was an ill intentions. Like, we don't have to run and say everything to everyone to avoid that.
How often do you guys check in with each other for each other's mental health, your mental strengths, and your stress levels?
We haven't done that.
No. I don't think we... I mean, obviously, if I see him down, I'll ask, are you okay? He reads my face like no one else.
But as a course of, in a general aspect, you guys don't do that as a basic check-in?
No, just like I said, if we see that each other's off, like he could read my face in any room, in any situation, and he'd be like, are you okay? So we are conscious of each other's feelings and emotions, but I don't think we have like a certain where like, you know, once a week we have this night, or there was one point where we were meditating together, you know, COVID brought us together a lot and just trying to find different ways to entertain ourselves. So we played games and meditated, but again, just like a cadence of checking in. And now it's just...
It was interesting to me because that came to mind while thinking of these questions. Well, I don't know if it's weird or not, but I don't know how people do these type of things. But the way I do it is coming up beforehand, people just do it off the cuff or whatever. Knowing that, know you guys as, you know, close friends, knowing that you guys are long distance for now until you guys settle on how you guys want to be in the long run, I've seen people do that for each other. I would do that with friends, checking, hey, how you doing? What's this and that and everything? And I see, because it's weird with doing this podcast, and then you kind of get lumped in on the algorithm and Instagram, mental health lessons. Those are one of the things. It's like, you know, checking on the people, this and that. And it's interesting. It's like wondering if you guys do that. Even though some people think routine is bad, which I don't think it is. Yeah, you routinely eat cake in the middle of the night. No, that's not good. But saying, hey, how you doing? How you thinking? It's okay if you guys don't, but if you do now, then that's great. What are your thoughts on that?
I think we know each other to the point where we can sense when one or the other is off. And obviously, we'll ask questions. We'll make sure that the other one is okay. You know, we all go through different situations. You know, his legal battle with the girls. So whenever anything happens there, you know, I make sure that I'm there. I'll ask him, are you okay? How are you feeling? Do you want to talk about it? I think you actually bring up a really good point. I think we're not all conscious or aware of checking in with each other like that. You know, I had a situation of suicide in my family, and, you know, I think those are important questions to ask, and it might be something that we might start doing.
Hope you guys do that and stick with it, you know?
Yeah.
It's very important nowadays where anxiety is really high. You know, I don't know why, but I'm currently feel a lot of anxiety, and I don't know why.
It must be in the air, or maybe it's just where we are in life. Because yesterday I was sharing with Jerry, and I think that's also another thing. When we're feeling a certain type of way, we share it with each other. Like I was telling him, I had an extreme sense of sadness for like the last couple of days. And I was like, I hope nothing's going to happen. But it could be a lot of different things, hormones, you know, premenopause or whatever it is. But I think it's just the world where we're in now. So it's definitely important to check in with each other.
I don't know if you are, but as far as for anxiety and helping on a day-to-day basis, like, I'm a huge proponent of CBD for that. And I'm glad that helps with anxiety, but does not taint my day-to-day actions, mm-hmm. because I don't feel any different, but I don't feel debilitated by feeling a constant worry throughout the day. And it's upsetting. It's worrying too, because when you don't have somebody checking in on how you feel, then it heightens that anxiety, because it's like,
does anybody care?
Then it's like, oh shit, then the anxiety meter ticks up a bit. Okay, nobody cares. Okay, how am I gonna deal with this? And something else happens. Nobody's still asking. Mm-hmm. Something else happens. Well, shit, how am I gonna deal with it?
But that's our mind talking to
us. Exactly.
Yeah.
Then you're kind of like on this eat yourself kind of moment, and there's no way to kind of release that valve.
Yeah.
So you have people going through this high anxiety every day type of moment, and they don't know how to release that. And people need to know that there's outlets out there. There's hotlines out there that they need to reach out and just decompress and do that. And check in. Don't wait for somebody to check in with you. You can go out mm-hmm. and check in with them.
Yeah.
I mean, Jerry, how do you deal with any type of anxiety? You go straight to me?
I was literally just thinking about that as you were talking. And I have the perfect example.
What you got?
All right. And that feeling that you mentioned about nobody caring when you're under that anxiety levels, right? For me, when I go through my struggles, my personal struggles, not our struggles, Jerry's struggles. One of my struggles is my cars. Sounds stupid, but because it has nothing to do with the relationship. No, but it has to do with, you know, my mental struggle.
Uh-huh.
When something doesn't go right, it goes left,
mm-hmm.
it goes wrong. I can't get a hold of the situation. Not that my world is falling apart because of a car.
Yes, it does.
See, now you make me want to make this a video.
Oh, we could be so a reality TV. And then our daughters.
Oh my God, forget about it. It's crazy. Sometimes when I go through these struggles, her knowing the struggles that I go through and her not asking, she does, but there's times that she'll skim a question off of that and then go about something else or do something else. And I'm like, okay, that's it. I wanted a little bit more. Wanted a little bit more support or, I guess, comforting from her because I'm going through this struggle that she might not understand what I'm going through.
Care even though you don't care.
Right.
And I think that's part of it. I don't understand because it's car stuff.
But then my outlet is excessively spending on more car stuff because that's what distracts me from being, I guess, kind of like the CBD. That's what decompresses me.
That's your cake.
Right.
That's an addiction.
Or just being, she argues with me a lot about being warm.
That's the fat boy going to the store.
Right.
So you're eating your food.
He's buying his feelings on Facebook Market.
Being on social media, I'm always looking at, she can tell you, she gets so annoyed. 24/7 Facebook Marketplace. Offer up. I'm always looking at things to buy, things that I could buy, things that I could possibly do to the car. For example, one of my cars that is not even being worked on and is just sitting there, and I'm over here stressing the hell out because I want my car. Because originally, before I got with Marina, one of my mental decompression or emotional decompression was to jump in that car and take off upstate. I take long drives to decompress. And she doesn't understand it, though sometimes I try to explain to her and sometimes I feel like I get rubbed off, but, you know, she's like, okay, yeah, I understand, whatever, blah, 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 but she didn't understand.
Hello.
But that's how I cope with my mental anxiety is
buying car parts.
Or something.
You're lucky. Because he could have one foot be like 500 pounds, diabetic, such bad shape.
I'm a stress eater, so I get it. Right. I gained 45 pounds during COVID because right. I'm a stress eater, so I get it.
In the middle of the night,
she has a shit ton of car parts. Yeah.
Oh, my God. And when we got together, they were all over his living room. They were everywhere. His mom, Blanca, I love you, is about to have a heart attack with him because...
You could just resell the car.
Well, that's what he does. But, yeah, it's... And then he says, like, I don't understand because to me it's like, how can you spend, like, $15,000 on doing something to a car? To me, that's like, what? So, yeah, I don't get it because that's his habit. That's... I mean, his hobby. Sorry.
No.
Wait, is it a hobby or is it a passion?
A passion. I would say both. Both. So, you know, it is his hobby, his passion. I respect it because I met him with it. It's actually one of the reasons why we even started talking because I needed help on buying a car. So I get it. I respect it. I don't get involved with it. As long as it doesn't, you know, affect our home, I'm okay with it. Your car meets, your car clubs, your car shows, all that stuff. That's him. That's his life. And I embrace it, but doesn't mean that I understand it because to me, it's like, wow, all that. Maybe it's because I don't have a hobby. I don't know. Maybe I do. And I just haven't identified it except for I love sleeping. But, you know, we'll get there now. Thank you. I will be a little bit more supportive on your car stress.
That's okay. I just keep on spending it.
Maybe treat it as a therapist. A therapist doesn't understand what every patient does or goes through.
They listen. Yeah. Okay. I will listen.
She's just going to throw your ass on a couch, listen, and then party.
You might want to record that way because I will wear the big glasses and I will
put out a show. Little bit of parts.
Replay this part on the podcast.
Yeah. There you go. I will play my part.
There you go. And she could dress up like a therapist.
Yeah, it's going. Big glasses.
This is where the check-in happens.
You don't want to take your podcast there. We might take it.
No, that's for you guys. You close the door. Don't bring anybody in.
No. No.
Close the door.
Don't forget the joke.
Oh, God.
Okay, let's go back to the regular question.
All right.
Oh, man.
Knowing what each of you have been through and going through, have you done those checks with your children? Or in a sense, have they done it with you? My youngest, Logan, for some reason, does it to us. And we thought it was daycare that taught him. But he did it randomly and asks, are you happy? And I would answer him honestly. I do my best to explain why, even though he's 3 years old. It's just out of the blue. He just looks at us.
Are you happy?
Sometimes I say yes, sometimes I say no, and he's like, why? And I would explain it to him. It's just weird. Well, weird in the sense that my other two children never did that. So he's different. He grew up different because we're in a home now, and he feels a little more freer than the other two. He throws for a loop when he does that. So it's hard for us as parents to kind of understand that. We're a little more, okay, fuck it, let's roll with it, see what we do with it. Do your kids do that with you?
Nope.
With either of you? It's not.
I've got teenage girls that don't even want to be boned. I have to say the younger one, though, Alyssa, is a little bit more concerned, I would say, about our emotions, which then has me thinking, is it the younger age? Is it because they're younger? So they worry more about how their parents or those in their home are. But the teenage ones?
Do you let them know that the lines of communication are
open? Oh, yeah. Yeah, they know that. I think that's one thing we still encourage in our home. We do sit down together for dinner. No phones. We all eat together. Everyone at the same time, regardless of where we're at. I'm in Florida, Jerry's in New York, we'll have dinner time together. Whenever possible, we'll all sit as a family. Sometimes even eat the same thing. I swear, we're not creepy. We've just made it work. Some people say, what? But we do encourage communication in the home so they know that they do have a safe haven. They can come and express their feelings, their emotions, some more than others. And as Jerry says, depends on which girl we're talking to. Crazy as it may sound, my Maylise goes to Jerry. And Vanessa, Jerry's Vanessa, comes to me. with their situations, their emotions, whether it's I don't want to go directly to my biological parent because they're going to be upset, or whatever it is, you know, the trust we've built in them or whatever. For difficult situations, they tend to go to the other person to help them go to the biological parent. They've kind of made it work, but they don't check in on us. They don't even call us.
But now that you mentioned Logan coming up to you and asking you that, I think that's something that we need to just randomly ask our kids as well.
Yeah.
So while you were talking, I'm over here thinking, because of the situation that I have going on with, you know, Cord and my ex, the girls' feelings and how they feel about, you know, staying here in New York versus going back with mom and so on and so forth, I said to myself, when they come back, I need to ask them that. Out of the blue, catch them cold. Are you happy?
Give it a shot.
I think that's important.
Because they've never expressed in a moment's time that, you know, we're okay. And our kids' mental health as well is very, very, very important.
And they need to know it's important.
Right.
Yeah.
Though we help them with their struggles daily, going, you know, whatever they go through in school with their peers and stuff like that. But maybe they'll open up just a bit more with just that question.
With a simple question. Yeah. Because we're always like, oh, how's your math? How did you do here? You know, we ask more direct questions that have to do with their lives, right, but not with their emotions.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That kid, I love him to death, but oh, my God.
Because he's just in his toddler years.
Oh, my God. It's like the Energizer fairy just came and said, yeah, you're going to fuck with your parents. Here. But, yeah. Without giving too much away, what do you think is next for you guys? The planning is not there.
Our honeymoon.
Jesus Christ.
We haven't gone on it.
Wedding was how many months ago?
we extended.
So we have priorities. Jerry's daughter Vanessa turned 16, so that took priority. That was another celebration. And then we still have our honeymoon. And honestly speaking, we're living life. Just exist. If there's one thing I learned from my experiences, don't plan anything. Don't plan anything. Don't plan anything. Have goals, objectives, paths laid out of how you're going to try and achieve those goals, but always know that they might change and be okay with that. You know, right now, as we said, we've given ourselves 3 years. I know that sounds like a long time, but it really isn't. Time is flying. No, not the honeymoon. That's coming next year. 3 years to permanently be together.
Gotcha.
Whether it's Florida, New York, we don't know. We have no clue, at least for that time frame, which is now 2.5 years because it's been 0.5.
We have a clue.
It's to be together.
We have a clue.
Okay. As it stands right now, where would you like it to be?
Florida.
And where would you like to be, Jerry?
I would like to be in Florida as well. Oh, but it's...
We're a job.
2.5 years, it's 2.5.
Yeah.
Just asking now, but it's 2.5 years away.
Yeah, there's factors, you know. I have a condition where medical insurance is important and job stability.
There's also sinkholes, hurricanes.
There's a lot of stuff that we're juggling. There's a lot of things that we're juggling where, yes, we want to be in Florida, but New York is the ideal spot. But New York is not the ideal spot, but Florida is the ideal spot. So this, it's just, so you know, that is stressing.
Yeah.
New York's the home. We have Florida to be the vacation. Who knows?
Who knows? We don't know. All we know is that it'll be together.
And you guys will be happier for it and wherever you guys land.
Yeah.
Guys, any final thoughts?
Go ahead. You go first. Ladies first.
No, you know, I know the purpose of your podcast is, you know, to spread awareness on how to cope with situations, how to deal with situations. I know last year I was here, you know, kind of talking about how I dealt with my traumas and the unfortunate situation that I was in for X and Y reasons, whatever those were, coming to show light that, you know, there is light at the end of the tunnel. We can never stay in a dark spot. And I think if one thing I am to share and want people to take away from this podcast is that we can go through dark moments, but it's up to us if we want to stay in those dark places. There's always light. Life is not perfect. It's not. Every day is not like the other. Every emotion is not like the other. You know, every downturn, uphill, every battle is not the same. But always know that it's up to you to stay there and get out of it. And I said before, there's support for everything. There's support for domestic abuse. There's support for parenting. There's support for those, you know, going through anything in life. Find your support system. Stay with it. It could be as little as one person that hears you. And if there isn't someone close, because for some unfortunate reason, you just don't have anyone that is close to you, there's experts. Find them. It's in us and within us to lay our path, our journey, and find our health, whether it's mental, physical, emotional, however it is, it's up to us. And you can do it. I did it. We've done it. I think the three of us sitting here have gone through our individual traumas. We've come out of it stronger, head stern, and just know that there's someone out there. There's someone. There's always someone.
Wise words, Jerry.
Seek the courage within oneself. Don't be afraid to express what one is going through, what one is feeling, what one is thinking. Though we might feel like people might not understand us, do not hold in emotions. Bottled up emotions eventually will crack the bottle and can wreak havoc, can lead people down dark paths, dark places. Don't be afraid. Seek help if you know that you need it. It's easier said than done, but don't be afraid to reach out and find that shoulder to cry on or somebody to talk to hear you out. I've been through a lot of situations in my life where I kept my emotions bottled up and it wasn't good at the end. But there's always that one person out there that will help you get through your struggles, whether it be a friend, a therapist, an aunt, an uncle, a brother. Don't be afraid.
And for couples out there, just always remember what made you fall in love. I mean, life isn't perfect. As long as there isn't that disrespect, disloyalty, and all that extra things that are now being
normalized.
Always remember what brought you together. And if things are monotonous, then find a way to spice them up, you know, have fun, go on dates, try and normalize healthy relationships. I think toxic relationships are being normalized. And, you know, the memes on the toxic girlfriend or the toxic boyfriend, husband, wife, whatever, it's becoming normal and okay to be toxic. It is not okay to be toxic. Find a healthy love, a healthy relationship, and hold each other's hands and know that nothing out there is going to be better than what you fell in love with. Let love lead. There we go. Love.
Communicate, appreciate, and check in.
Yep, and have fun.
Thank you, guys. Thank you to Jerry. It's been a pleasure, guys. For everybody listening, thank you again. And if you know anybody who would love to be on my show, who would have a great topic for any type of mental strength lessons that they would love to come across and get across to anybody anywhere in the world, please hit me up. Thank you, everybody. I'm Oscar Luna, and this is FYI.
I am damaged. Hey.
You?
Thank you, everybody.